Hello, and welcome to the New Homeowner Podcast. On this episode of the podcast, we'll talk about the quiet period. So while things might seem quiet, I can tell you for certain that they are very, very busy. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. Your local team is consolidating your selections, ordering the necessary materials to build your home, and gathering all of the required permits and preparing to build the walls, floors, roof trusses, everything that's going to go into your home. And today, we're going to talk about who's behind the scenes doing that, specifically what's happening, so that you know what's going on during this time period. And later in the episode, our guest speaker will share a fun way you can start creating memories in your new home, but you have to start before building begins. So we'll get to that in a minute. Amy, Kelsey, hello. How are things?
Great.
Good.
Things are good.
I have three letters for you guys. Ready? BLT. Bacon, lettuce, tomato. Best sandwich I've had this summer. I made it last night. My son Christian was home. It was just the two of us. And this year I'm growing tomatoes. I plucked one of those suckers off of there, sliced it up. So good.
That's the best way to do it.
Would it be wrong if I ate that every night until the end of August? Is that bad for me?
Not by us.
No. Nope. I actually tried a BLT with turkey bacon recently. Not the same. Wouldn't recommend.
See, I'm the lifelong vegetarian, so I'm more of an L&T kind of sandwich person.
But do you still do that? As I chomped into my five strips of bacon, which may be a little bit excessive for a sandwich, I was thinking of you, Amy. I was like, I wonder if she still does this sandwich.
I actually had it for lunch on Sunday. I just added some cheese.
Okay.
No.
Poor Amy.
Don't knock it till
we just
you
can't relate.
Are there any other your go-to summer dinner meals? I need some ideas.
I'm kind of like a summer salad kind of person, but I have a really good sandwich that I like from Great Harvest Bread Co. You guys familiar?
Yeah.
Yes.
They make a really, Amy, I'm sure you've had it. It's just like fresh veggies, like all raw, but just like really good crunch. There's like a red pepper, I don't know, pesto or something.
I haven't, but now you give me something to check out.
You got to try it.
I'll let you know.
You got to try it. It's so good.
I won't eat BLTs in the wintertime because I can't get a good tomato. Without the good tomato, I don't think it's worth the effort. I love bacon, but I'm not going to do it without the tomato.
Yeah. I don't do tomatoes in the winter either. Not as good.
And then I've discovered you have to toast the bread a little bit, but not over toast it. And then my go-to mayo is Duke's mayo. Do you guys have a mayo choice?
I'm a Duke's girl.
Duke's?
Same.
Wow.
This is controversial, though. There are a lot of polls online that I've seen about this.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I have a family member who's a Miracle Whip person, and I have a major problem with that.
Okay. My mom is the same.
I don't want to make people mad out there, but if you're a Miracle Whip person, I don't know if we can be friends. I'm not sure.
I'll still be your friend.
Maybe for certain dishes, it's called for, but it's not a replacement for mayonnaise. We better get Julie's idea on this. Julie, welcome to the show, first of all. I'll let you introduce yourself, but first I need to know what your position on mayonnaise is versus Miracle Whip.
I like Hellman's.
Okay,
but
good.
I went to school in North Carolina. You got to go with the Duke's too.
Oh, good. Is it from that area?
It's a North Carolina thing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Is it related to Duke?
I don't think so.
I doubt it.
No.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. Give us a little bit of background about yourself and what you do.
I have been with NVR. I actually have worked on the Ryan side for 18 years. I started out as a settlement administrator, but for the last 16 years, I have been kind of running the back office as an administrative office manager. So we're kind of behind the scenes, getting your house ready. And I'm married and I have a 6-year-old daughter. And I also have a 21-year-old stepdaughter. So we always joke in our house that we pay daycare and we pay college tuition. So I don't know who else does that.
That sounds really expensive.
It's pretty expensive. But we have a dog and we have a rabbit and they get along beautifully, which is an unusual little
A dog and a
pair.
Rabbit. We used to have boxer. Rabbits as kids.
So did I.
Big ones.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we actually had one on our patio this morning that's been eating my pots. And it's like half the size of our rabbit inside.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of unusual.
That's crazy. So I think your role needs a different title. We need to work on that because it sounds so generic, but it's not. Like what you guys do is incredible and there's a lot going on. So for all the listeners, the period we're talking about for this episode, you've signed your contract, you've made your selections, your loan app is in, it's temporarily approved or maybe all the way approved at this point. And now what a lot of customers call this little time period between all that stuff and when your house actually starts in terms of someone digging in the ground or putting, putting things, pieces of wood together is the quiet period. And they say it because up until that point, things have been very, very busy, very fast, a lot going on. And now suddenly we all kind of go, and it seems like to you, the buyer, that nothing's going on, but there's actually quite a lot going on. And all the stuff that's going on is going to help us build the house faster than what you probably think can happen. And one of the biggest misconceptions is, oh, if they build it fast, it's not going to be built very good. But it's actually not true, because what's happening is we're pre-building and pre-arranging all the things we need. And we're doing that in a perfect environment. In most cases, it's temperature controlled. It's in the environment's controlled. So all of that arrangement is happening behind the scenes. So Julie, tell us, what are some of those things?
Once that contract is written and all of the selections are finalized, we really get to business. So my team, we have to get a resite for your house. So once you've finalized everything, we're going to get a resite, work with our engineers, make sure the footprint fits on your lot. And we are then, once that resite is finished, we're going to start applying for your permit. So every jurisdiction is different. It can take anywhere from maybe 6 weeks before start. Different jurisdictions take a different amount of time, but we start applying for the permit. It takes a little bit of time, but we're also submitting your final changes and your package to order all the materials that are going to be submitted to our manufacturing plant and all of our vendors for all the items that are going to go in that home.
So everything that was determined from the selections and options, that's got to be locked in, because you're basically going to that jurisdiction and saying, this is what this house is going to look like exactly. And they have to then prove the permits based on that.
That's right. And if we make any changes, then we have to amend, and it takes a little bit extra time.
And go through the whole process again.
All over again. Yep. So it's really important to get those changes in and then allow us to go ahead and submit for a permit and submit for all of your materials for your house.
And our sales reps will set the expectation at the different communities of what's expected for that timeline. Some people do things a little bit differently, but you'll know as a customer exactly what's expected of you. So Jules, we've spent the past couple of weeks introducing our customers to different, what we're calling, team members. We talked about the sales rep. We brought on a loan officer. We talked about how we're going to introduce a project manager soon. But what I don't think our customers realize is the team of people working behind the scenes on their behalf, making sure things go smoothly for them. So when you talked about some of these items and processes that have to happen, who are the people behind those?
Well, we have a permit administrator. We have a sales administrator. The sales administrator goes in and processes all of your change orders, your purchase agreement. We have the permit administrator. She submits all of the permits and resites to the county, making sure that we get them on time to start your house on time. We also have a settlement administrator. We have an individual who pays invoices. And we have a pretty big team that takes you from start to finish.
So all of these people are the behind-the-scenes coordinators.
Absolutely.
For the frontline team, customers.
They work really, really hard.
So there's a person just for permits, which I think some people think, well, maybe a big builder like Ryan Homes, you know, they have like a special deal with the county. They approve. No, every single house, same permits, same inspection, which is all, you know, third party, county inspected for every house that we have. So.
Yeah. And there are people behind the scenes that have to manage that happening. It's not just automatic through the computer.
Fortunately, as the buyer, you don't have to worry about any of that. Yeah. And you don't even have to know Julie, because she's going to do this for you based on, you know, what the sales rep has said. So not that they wouldn't want to know you, but that would be another person. They'd be like, oh my gosh, this team is growing and growing. No, your team, a lot of is unseen, just like the underwriter.
That's
from
right.
Episode 3.
Forget.
I think the only thing that's really critical there for the buyer to understand is exactly why these selections. I mean, we talked all about the design interior selections last episode. So why these need to be made on time and how critical that is to the start and ultimately the delivery of their home. So I know we kind of talked before this about, you know, what could be interfered with if those aren't made on time. Do you have anything kind of to add?
I mean, just for instance, if you decided later that you wanted to add an extension onto your home, well, that's going to affect the footprint of your home. So we have to submit a resite again. You know, the concrete needs to be poured a certain way. If you're adding that extension, it has to be redone. So that kind of takes you back a few weeks to get it all amended and accepted. And you know, it's going to affect the delivery date, the start of your home, and then the delivery date of your home. And we want it to start on time, and we want it to deliver on time for you.
Tell us a little bit about the start date. Like, how does that get determined? Is there a lottery? What's happening behind the scenes?
So once you sign a contract with us, we then slot you on our start schedule. So every week we talk about every single home buyer. And depending on what kind of house you're buying, it takes X amount of days. So we slot it on our start schedule and we talk about your loan, your house type, if you have a house to sell. And then we slot them in different weeks, and every week a group of houses are going to start. So we have a system that automatically says if you're going to be purchasing a certain type of house, it takes a certain amount of time. So we're able to have a start date and give you a very good estimated delivery date. So weekly we go through that, and that's essentially our start date.
That's amazing how they can figure out all the parts that go into building a house. Okay, we're going to be done on this date, or at least within this week, you know, because there's a lot that's coming together.
It's pretty amazing to see how we can really narrow it down.
And how many houses at once are you guys juggling in a particular division, I guess, or region?
Per week?
Yeah, per week.
Per week. Oh,
like,
gosh.
How many houses are you talking about in one of those meetings?
We, per week, each week we're starting anywhere from, at least in my division, we can start maybe 6 houses a week.
Wow. That's
so
cool.
So we have quite a few to review and look at. My team is very busy.
Let's talk a little bit about the manufacturing plant, which we're going to have a whole episode on that. It's a really amazing and cool experience. If you ever get to see one, I got to tour one when I first started here. Have you been to one? I'm sure you have.
I have, yeah.
It's really cool. So you talked about, you know, we have to order some lumber and some different things get ordered. And what's going on at the manufacturing plant? What do you ship to them, first of all? Say, okay, hey, we need another one of these houses. Bring us the stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, I spoke of our start meeting. So each week we have a group of houses in, you know, different weeks. So in a specific week, we submit to basically the order to our manufacturing plant. And so that's prior to start. And then they have time to put it together and then deliver the lumber at a specific time that we have dictated to be delivered to your site.
Yeah, I've seen them on the road.
Yeah, so have I. And the coolest part to me is they literally have an address and a last name. So it's really custom built for what each of our customers ordered. And I think that's such a cool thing that people don't realize.
Yeah.
It's neat to see your lot number on the side of a big lumber truck driving down the road.
And your name.
It's kind of neat. Yeah, and your name.
And so the difference between, let's say, a much smaller builder, someone who said, okay, I'm going to go to Home Depot or 84 Lumber or Tart Lumber in our area, some lumber place, they're going to get each individual piece of wood and they're going to look at their plan. They're going to start putting together one piece by piece, which is fine. You can build a great house that way. What we do to reduce the cost and to increase the quality and to ensure we finish on time is we pre-build some of those walls in a manufacturing facility, in a plant, right? And so there's men and women sort of pulling the boards together. They get nailed through nailing machines and glue, and there's board inspectors. The plant I saw, they had just installed $1 million saw from Germany that cuts precisely the size of the boards, of the 2x4s. And then there was a laser that was etching exactly where it needed to be and how it needed to be installed. And so whatever we can do before we get to the home site and put it on a truck, it has to fit on a truck, we try to do that, including the trusses and a lot of the flooring subsystems. So that to me is amazing, first of all, that it's come to that point where we can build it that way. But the quality can really be enhanced because we can control exactly how those things get put together. Really cool.
Yeah. And what you just said, Jason, is a reminder that it's really not a quiet time,
yeah,
quote unquote. There's so much
if you've
going
ever been
on
in the plant,
behind the scenes.
It's very loud.
It's quite loud, in fact.
Yeah.
Making good progress.
Yeah. So they're there collecting stuff. And I think it's also a lot of times we ship cabinets there and to sort of save money on shipping and reduce, you know, waste and stuff like that. Anything else we can get shipped there, we'll do that and put it on the truck to get to your job site. I know it's a fun day for, you know, I built with NVR through NV Homes, and the day the lumber was dropped, I was like, oh my gosh, there's our house right there getting ready to go up.
And I think that's when it comes together, what's been going on this whole time. It's such a cool moment.
Because you don't see permits. I mean, it's not like they go stick them on the ground. There's nothing. Eventually, they'll be there in the house. You can go see them. But and then everything order and you don't see that, we're not really going to email you and say, okay, we ordered, your lumber started, nothing. That's probably not happening, but you can know during this period that all that stuff is being collected and getting ready to get started.
And through those updates you were talking about, Julie, that's how we communicate to our project manager and sales rep to pass along the updates to our customers.
That's right. That's right.
What else, Julie?
We talked about permits. You know, we're getting the building permit, but you know, our vendors are also getting mechanical, electrical, plumbing permits, you know, so this is another reason why it's so important to have everything set so that we can coordinate with so many different people to get that house started and make sure we have all the proper materials for the house.
And when we talk, probably it's next episode, right, Kelsey? With the project manager, we'll talk more about, okay, who works for Ryan Homes and who actually works as a Ryan Homes employee or who's a vendor of Ryan Homes. And usually most of the time, electrical, plumbing, those are vendors we use specialists in the local area to do those aspects of the houses. And we have a project manager sort of managing that. So each vendor is getting their own permits and making sure that they're passing all the inspections as well. And so you're making sure that they're on point. Well, they are, you know, they do so many homes, but we have to make sure they have all that as well.
I feel like that's one thing that we hear sometimes is, you know, oh, Ryan Homes, you know, pulls the permit and then they do the inspection. But no, you know, there are these third parties who are doing these inspections and holding us accountable.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I did my own work for my basement. And so I had to get my own permits and do my own inspections or have the guy come out. So I went to the like county office and I walked in and they're like, oh, you need a plan for your basement, you know, a sketch. And I was like, oh, she's like, no, look, you can just draw it on the back of this page for a basement. It's easy. We just need to know where the bathroom's going to be and if you have any doors or bedrooms. And so I did that. And she goes, that's good. And the guy came out and checked the framing. And then the electrical guy came out, the plumbing guy came out. It was really fun to like just see it. And
see,
there were a few things I messed up on, but.
That does not sound fun to me.
In our area, anyway, the person was very helpful. He's like, hey, you did a great job here. This needs to be, you need to do this a little bit differently.
Right.
Right.
I'd rather have someone do it for me.
And he'd say, if you do it today, I'll be back tomorrow. I'm in the area and I'll come and check it again. It was cool. So tell us about this tip. What can they do before building even begins? Because it is a little bit of a quiet period. You're waiting. So I actually did this myself, but describe it.
So I think it's a great idea to kind of document the life of your house, you know, when it's being born, you know, the time before we start breaking ground. Go out to your home site, take your camera, take your family, take your dog, whoever you want to be a part of it, and start taking pictures. That can be the start of kind of the history of your home from start to finish.
Now, what we did was we stood in the exact same spot. There was like a storm drain. So we were like, okay, 5 steps back from the storm drain where we knew the front porch, just the front of the front porch was going to be. And then we tried to do the same pose with the same so that you could see it.
The progression.
The progression.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. It was difficult to find someone every time to take our picture because we didn't have selfies back then and got to have a pretty long arm or a selfie stick.
I have no doubt that you found a good solution, Jason.
Usually it was someone working on the home or like, do you mind taking this picture for
There's
a second?
There's always someone on site that could help you, I'm sure.
Thinking more along the lines of a contraption, but maybe we'll uncover that in another episode.
Yeah. Well, my wife was pregnant when we started and our daughter was born like a month before we moved in. So it was a very busy time. And I think she did it on purpose because she didn't have to help pack anything. She's like, well, pregnant. I can't pack anything. You're going to have to
woman.
Do it yourself.
I love that tip though, because oftentimes, I mean, gosh, we're only 4 episodes in, but typically our tips are kind of more about, you know, making the process smoother for you or ways you can get ahead of things. And this one is just fun and light and like a way to start building memories before you're even in your home. So it's really thoughtful. I like that.
All right, Julie, thank you for joining us today. That was very insightful. A lot going on during the quote unquote quiet period. For the next episode, we're going to talk to a project manager, and that person helps guide you through your new home build. We'll talk about how to best prepare for your pre-construction meeting and what to expect so that you can make the most out of your first interaction with your project manager. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay in the loop with future episodes and visit www.newhomeowner.com to submit any questions or topics for future episodes. And if you have a friend who's interested in getting a new home and not a used home, which is fine, nothing wrong with it, right, Aim? You have a used home.
I do. Thanks for sharing.
But if they haven't even considered it, because you know what the stats are, 40% of people that buy a house don't even think about buying new because they're not sure how it's done. And there's a whole team of people that will make sure that happens for you. So go check out RyanHomes.com. And we have communities all up and down the East Coast and the eastern side of the United States. There's probably something for you. Thanks. See you next time.